Okay. Hi, LCU. Bill Bundy asked me to speak today. I honestly, my first thought was like, is there some sort of shortage of speakers? Or he asked me several times. I felt like I told him no like three times, but he finally just group texted me and Brady and was like, how does April 9th work? And I was like, okay, well, we're doing this. So we really are glad to be here. This is definitely not my thing, but I was sitting where you are once. I graduated from LCU in 2007, and then I went on to get my master's at Tech in speech-language pathology, and then I have since opened up an outpatient pediatric therapy clinic with one of my close friends in Graham. I don't know if I'm going to be able to work this. I'm not supposed to do that.
Is it already up there?
Oh, it's already up there. I can't see it. Brady and I have three kids, Ruby, Etta, and Towns. This is all I could find. We haven't taken a professional family picture in years, so that's what we have. Okay. About a year and a half ago, I listened to a podcast with Jamie Winship, and it was really, really powerful. And then I went on to read his book called Living Fearless. I actually read it twice. Because it was one of those things that just wrecked me. I can't even explain what it did. I cried the whole way through the book. It's not even a sad book. It's just one of those things that God totally spoke through that book to me. And Jamie talks a lot about living in your identity from God. And to do that, you have to get out of a false identity. And this is where a lot of us, I would say most of us, spend a lot of time. And basically what it is when you tell yourself things about yourself or about your situation that are not from God. And you believe these things, and if you know they're not from God, because if they produce fear, doubt, guilt, or shame, then they're not from God. And that's what he considers living in a false identity, is when you tell yourself these things and you believe them. I didn't think I had a lot of this. I didn't think I did much of this to myself, talking to myself like that in that way, until a few weeks ago I started actually writing some stuff down about how I was feeling. And I do. And I think a lot of us do. So I thought it was important to talk about. And I want to tell you some of the things I wrote down so that you can kind of understand what it is that we say to ourselves, even if you think maybe you don't really do this. Just on being here today, speaking today, oh, you're not qualified to do this. What are you going to talk about? You're going to embarrass yourself. You get nervous speaking in front of, like, at a staff meeting at your office. All those things are fear and doubt. On being a mom, you're not spending enough time with your kids. You really shouldn't work. You should stay home. I don't know. Why don't you do that? You're not equipping them spiritually. You should be doing so much more. That's all guilt. Mom guilt is a very real thing. On a nonprofit organization that I'm starting with one of my friends, y'all, this won't really work. Y'all don't have enough resources to make this work. And how are you going to relate to these people in need? Because you've never really struggled, they're not going to listen to you. All fear and doubt. So I could keep going, but basically this is your false identity. When you tell yourself these things, and we all do it, and you believe them because you tell them to yourself over and over. And if they produce any of those feelings, they're not from God. So we're going to talk real quickly about someone in the Bible who does live in his identity from God until he doesn't, and that's David. It's a beautiful story, but we're only going to just hit the high points. So basically, Israel has a lot going on. Saul's the king, and he's ruining everything. God's like, I have a better king, and he's the son of Jesse. So Samuel goes to Jesse. He has eight boys, and Samuel's like, oh, it's that one. And Jesse's like, that kid just, like, he literally just watches sheep, and he throws rocks, and he, like, writes little poems that no one's ever going to read, you know, and Samuel's like, no, that's him. Because the Spirit of God is on David when he's basically a child. Like, with the Spirit of God on David, he can do anything. And without it, he can do nothing. And it's the same for us today. With the Spirit of God in us, we can do anything. And without it, we're nothing. So Jesse doesn't understand this. Jesse doesn't understand that the Spirit of God is on his son. So basically, Israel's in trouble. They're at war. David's taking food to his brothers, and Goliath is challenging Saul and his army. David is like, I can handle this. I can take him. And his brothers are in fear, so they want to get David in fear because that would make them feel better about themselves. It makes them look bad if he's not in fear. So they're telling him, oh, you're just arrogant. You're a punk. You need to go back to the sheep where you belong. And David doesn't even listen to that. Like, if it were me, I'd probably be like, yeah, you're right. What am I doing? Like, what am I doing? But he only listens to things that God tells him. So he just shuts that down. Saul, other side, telling him the same thing. You need to fight the old way. You need armor. And David's like, I don't need anything. He already knows who he is, and he doesn't listen to these things. And it's amazing. You know the story. Basically, he wins the fight. He has 5 stones. He only needs 1 to kill Goliath, but he has 5 stones. He never has to pay taxes again. He gets a wife that's royalty. Everything's going really well at that point. And then he decides to go to a cave because Saul is really threatened by him. And so he goes to this cave to just kind of keep his family safe from Saul. And 400 men show up at this cave, and they're like, we want to live with you here. And the Bible describes these men as, I mean, all these, I don't know, in debt, in distress, and discontented. So they don't have really any identity. They definitely don't have the Spirit of God on them. Within a matter of, I don't know, I think like a couple years, David turns these 400 into like a 600-man army that are just like champions. They're absolutely unstoppable. They're unbeatable. They are just like, they can't be beat. And because of David and who he knows who he is, he has the capability to show these men who they are. So they go from depressed criminals to like absolute champions. But then all of a sudden, everything changes. Why? Because David thought to himself. It says, but David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Fear gets in his head and he starts to ask David how David feels. And he quits inquiring of God, and he gets into the fear loop of telling himself what only he tells himself. I should be scared. I should live in fear. And so at that point, it goes so far. He's so far from God that he's actually living with the enemy and preparing to fight the very people that God anointed him to rule over. Like, he's preparing to fight God's people. And meanwhile, the Amalekites have destroyed him and his men's village. They've killed their wives, their children. They've taken everything they own, all their valuables. These men have absolutely nothing left. Nothing left. And the Bible says that they wept until they had no more strength to weep. Fear and discouragement took him to complete hopelessness. He had nothing, and he was the opposite direction of where he was when he was with God. His own champions are actually planning to kill him, and basically, then in 1 Samuel 36, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He cries out to God. And this, what's so beautiful about this, is God saves David from himself. God will save us from ourselves every time we cry out to him, every time. And everything changes when David inquires of the Lord. When David's in his identity, nothing can stop him. When he thinks to himself in fear, he loses everything. When we live our lives inquiring of God, unbelievable things can happen. This is no different than us today. Okay, let's see if that works. So, now, if you don't hear anything else, I want you to really, I'm going to challenge you to do something. I've been doing this, and A couple of my closest friends have been doing this, and I do it as often as I can. It's really important to be in a quiet place with the Lord, early in the morning, just somewhere quiet where you are not distracted. And I want you to try this, not just once, but try to make this like a discipline. Because hearing from God, I never thought I was someone that would ever hear from God, like actually hear from God. And until recently, I hadn't. And I didn't know even what that looked like. But this has been life-changing. And it is a discipline to learn how to do it. P is praise. Praise Him, because everything good in your life is from God. So that's where we start when we're praying. This is where we start, just gratitude, praising Him for everything good. The R is repent. Well, it's actually confession, but that didn't work with my cute little acrostic here. So it's repent, confession, then repentance. But confession is basically just, it's not just, I'm sorry. It's telling the truth. And this is really sacred and really powerful. So don't skip this. This is where you tell God all the things that you believe about yourself. You truth tell. You tell God, confess to Him how you feel. I can't do this. I can't talk in front of these people. I can't. I have nothing good to say, and I'm terrified. And then you ask. Ask God what He says about you, and you listen. This is important, too, because we just talk. I think a lot of times we don't just sit and listen after we've asked God a question. What do you say about who I am? What do you say about my situation? What do you say about me speaking? And just listen. Oh, you have the spirit of me on you, Mindy. You can do anything with me. And then why is yield? This is where you go in the direction He points you. This is me yielding because I don't like this. So that has been, since I've been doing this, God has been speaking and moving in my life. And He's actually given me words, let go. And I've been inquiring of Him what that means. And I've asked Him over and over. And slowly He's showing me things in my life that I need to let go that are not bearing fruit for Him, that I didn't even realize I needed to let go of. It's beautiful. Okay. Last thing. Oh, you can't read that. There's no way you can read that. Okay. So last thing, I'm going to read a little bit of this text my best friend Brenna sent me on my birthday last week. I just have to take this moment to tell you just a little bit about who you are. Holy Spirit oozes out of you. You are filled to the brim and it overflows and it's beautiful. You touch people's lives and may not even know it, but you're also so intentional about it too. Your heart couldn't get any bigger. The way you feel for people and your desire to help is nothing short of amazing. It's obvious that He dwells in you, and I'm so thankful that I get to learn from you and watch you. You're willing to get uncomfortable for Him, and it doesn't matter what it is, you'll do it when He tells you to. You're the best mom, wife, friend, sister, aunt, neighbor, etc. Thank you for always digging into His word and challenging me to do the same. Okay. You need 5 stones. 5 solid stones. This is a community of at least 5 people that only speak truth to you. Because you're going to face some really, really hard giants. And you need a community like this that tells you things that are truth and not things that you tell yourself. You need community like this and you need people like this. Do I believe all these things about myself? I don't. Most days I don't. But when you inquire of people like Brenna, who speak truth into you, and more importantly, when you inquire of God, you can live in ways that you never thought possible. Okay, thank you so much for having me. Go get 5 stones and P-R-A-Y. You're dismissed, by the way.